Church, before you sit down, can you just hold up your Bible? We're going to read the Word of God together. So hold up your Bible. You know that I do this every time I preach because we want to hold up the Bible to say that this is the authority over our lives. I will preach nothing else but the Book of God here, and nothing original comes from me. It's all from the Word of God, all right? So we need to hold this up. All right, could you hold this up and you declare this is my Bible? Are you ready? Okay, ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. We're going to read from the screen so that we all read from the same version, all right? So we read it aloud together. Ready? One, two, go. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. And from the book of Numbers, so Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, who had been with Moses aid since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And before you're seated, okay, could you just turn to someone next to you? Just eyeball them right now. Just someone next to you, eyeball them right now. All right, just eyeball them. Just turn to that person next to you. Now, first, I want the first person, as you stand next to each other, the first person, okay, say to that person, first person, all right, "I'm a prophet." Okay, tell the first person, say, "I'm a prophet," okay? Right, now the second person, right, who've been told that I'm a prophet, you say, "I know, because I'm also a prophet," all right? And after that, you can sit down, all right? Now, I could sense this tension, all right, when you say, "I'm a prophet," okay? But this morning, I want to tell all of you that we all can prophesy, okay? And I hope you're excited about this, all right? Now, before I continue, all right, I just want to remind all of us to come to pray together. 3-day fast and prayer is an important time for us to come early in the morning, 5:30 to 7 o'clock. Come just before you go to work. All right, come join us in prayer. If you have not learned how to fast, then learn how to fast. Maybe fast a meal as a start. But come together as a church to pray, because, you know, we all need prayer. Prayer is a language of weakness, meaning that, Lord, we are weak, God. We need you, Lord. But prayer is also a language of humility, to say to God, "Lord, you know, I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you." So it's a language of weakness and humility, but in him there's power. Amen? And that's why prayer is so very important. And the second thing is this, that some of you have came up to me earlier on and said, "Pastor, is there a mistake?" All right? In the bulletin, because it says there, Myanmar celebration, there were, you know, in the 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago, there were 3,372 people at Myanmar church, okay? So is there a mistake there? And I look at this, you know, there's no mistake, all right? Because they had a special function. It was a miracle maker conference, and there was as many as 3,372 Myanmaris right here, okay? And, you know, so... But our Myanmar church itself has something between 900 to 1,000 every Tuesday night when they meet, and a small group of them on a Sunday, but that's about 1,000. But in a cell group, this is one of those strange things, that there are more people in cell groups than in church. All right? So there's something like almost up to 1,000, 3,500 people for the Myanmar church in the cell groups. With 1,500 people, this is probably one of the largest Myanmar church in the world, okay? And that's an amazing work that UMC you are doing right now here. Because one of the things that we are hoping to do, you know, is to train many of these Myanmarese brothers and sisters and eventually, all right, send them home. Okay, send them home and church plant, all right? Planting a new, brand new kind of a church where it's spirit-filled. And God will begin to do something powerful for Myanmar. So church, you are all involved in this. And it's amazing. So keep the Myanmar church in prayer. Okay? So now, everyone say, all can prophesy. You know, I remember going up to some members sometimes and I say, hey, how was your Europe trip, you know? It was amazing. I could see that you're enjoying yourself. And then they gave me this funny look, you know, and say, Pastor, how you know I went on this Europe trip, huh? I almost wanted to say, God told me. But I knew I was lying if I said that. Then I said, no, Facebook told me. Okay? Now, Facebook sometimes can tell you things that, you know, members don't want you to know, but actually the pastor actually is secretly, you know, monitoring your life. So be very careful what you put on Facebook, all right? Now, so it's an amazing thing, all right? Now, when I talk about prophecy, all right, many of you say, what, me, a prophet? Because in your mind, prophet means something else. Because you say, Pastor, I don't even look like this guy. I don't have this long beard and wearing this robe. So how can I be a prophet? Prophet means looks like that, all right? That's a prophet with beard and all that. But can I suggest to you, this kind of prophet, all right, of course, we read about them in the Old Testament. But you know, God has called us in the New Testament, right? The New Testament age is the age when we are now children of God as Christians. In the New Testament age that we are all called to prophesy. Now, what is prophecy? Now, prophecy in definition is simply this, all right? To tell someone what you heard from God. Is that clear? That's the definition. To tell someone what you heard from God. Now, if I want to impress you, I would say this way, right? To tell someone by divine revelation. Well, that sounds better, isn't it? To tell someone by divine revelation. But actually, what it simply means is to tell someone what you heard from God. All right? Is it that difficult to tell someone what you heard from God? Right? Now, I hope you recognize by now what the Lord has told me about the strategy of moving the church towards, you know, a church that learn how to listen to God and be a prophetic people. Now, in the last 1.5 years, you know, we have seen many people being baptized in the Spirit. For example, in my cell group, right, almost all of them are really baptized in the Spirit, and all of them can pray in tongues. And they do that every week in the cell group. All right, compared to maybe 2 years ago, only half of them could do that. But I think in the last 1.5 years, the Lord has really baptized many, many members of DUMC here in the Holy Spirit. And I've been challenging you, for example, to pray in the Spirit, because praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, builds up the spirit man. All right? It's the only spiritual gift listed in the Bible that talks about building yourself. Because every other gift builds someone else, the whole body of Christ. But for the gift of tongues, or prayer tongue, it builds you up as a person. So I've been encouraging you in the last 1 year, pray in the Spirit for how many minutes a day? 10 minutes a day. So I hope you have been doing that. All right, I've been doing that regularly in the car. I've been regularly, you know, when I walk, when I'm just, you know, idling so-called without nothing much to do. And I pray all the time. All right, so I hope you would do that. To pray in the Spirit regularly, whenever you have the time, because it builds up your spirit man. And so once you build up your spirit man, all right, this is what will happen, that God will begin to sensitize your spirit towards the things of God. So in this sermon series, listen. Everyone say, listen. Listen. One more time, listen. Listen. So in this sermon series, I'm actually trying to teach the church to learn to listen to God. So in the sermon, the first sermon, I talk about how we all can hear the voice of God. And I told you that there ain't no shortcut. If you want to hear the voice of God, there is no shortcut. The only way you can hear the voice of God, really, is to learn to quiet yourself every day. Go to the rocking chair, right? And just listen to God. Commune with Him every day. And over time, you will learn to actually discern the voice of God. And immediately after the The first sermon on We All Can Hear the Voice of God. You know, a young father here sent me this picture. And this photo here is of the young daughter, all right, on a chair. And he wrote, this is Natalie's rocking chair where she will spend time with God, all right? So I thought, wow, that is what we need to do for our children, our next generation. We need to teach our children to sit on that rocking chair, all right, to be able to hear from God. Because one of the greatest things we can do for our children is that they learn to hear the voice of God. And I've gotten permission for the father to show this, right? And he said, yeah, it's a commitment I'm making to myself that I want to teach my children, all right, to learn to hear the voice of God. When they can hear the voice of God, they will do well in life. So I pray this is something that as a church, don't do it just during the Listen series, okay? Do it throughout your entire lifetime, all right? And last weekend, we had Pastor Philip Lin to come to talk about what it means to be spiritually revived, all right, and refreshed in our lives. And so I pray that we'll continue to do that. And the only way to do that is to be filled with the Spirit regularly and constantly, all right? Inviting the Holy Spirit. Every day, when you wake up in the morning, I already reminded you, when you wake up in the morning, don't go to your smartphone. On, right? What you need to do is say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Right? Invite the Holy Spirit from the time you wake up. Then you can look at your smartphone. Right? And so then this morning I'm going to talk about we all can prophesy. Right? This word in itself will trigger something in you. You're uncomfortable right now. But it's okay because Scripture talks about prophecy. That all can prophesy. And next weekend, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts, how God is going to use spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. And it is something that will be really powerful for us when we begin to understand the power that is in our hand, in the Holy Spirit. It's not our power. It is through prayer. Like I said before, prayer is a language of weakness and humility. We have to acknowledge that we are weak. We have to come before God and humble ourselves to say, we cannot, God, but you can. That's why we need to pray. All right? So, but through spiritual gift, we have the power of God in our lives. And over time, tell you what, as you learn to listen to the voice of God, you will be familiar with that voice. You can discern what is the voice of God, what is the voice of your own flesh, what is the voice of the world, and what is the voice of the devil. You can actually learn to differentiate that because you are familiar, all right? So for example, if my wife were to call me on my phone, I think 99% of the time, I will not claim 100%, 99% of the time, I will be able to recognize a voice. Why? Because I'm familiar with her. And so if I were to come to tell you and say, hey, I got something to tell you from my wife, okay? Now, there's an assumption there. If I were to tell you something from my wife, it means that I've already spoken to my wife. My wife had told me what she wants to tell you. That's why I can come to you and say that this is what my wife's going to say. It'd be quite funny if I were to come to you and say, this is what my wife wants to say to you, but I've not heard from her yet. That'll be funny, right? So the assumption is that if I were to tell you something, right, it means that I have heard from whoever that wants to communicate that thing to you. So if I were to say to you, you know, there's a word of God for you, what is the assumption? Right? I've heard from God. Right? So when I say the big idea is actually the idea of the sermon title, we all can prophesy. So if I were to say to you, remember, prophecy is saying to someone what God has said to you, what's the assumption? The assumption is that I've heard from God. So that is why hearing God is the foundation to prophecy. And that is why there's no shortcut. If you want to believe in the power of spiritual gifts, one of the things you must do every day, no shortcut, you need to listen to the voice of God. So everyone say, we all can prophesy. One more time, we all can prophesy. Right? And let me just share with you from Scripture. It's not what I'm trying to tell you or convince you. It's what Scripture will convince you. Prophecy is for all people. Now, let me help you now by understanding from the Old Testament, the passage you read earlier on. Now, give you the context of this story here. It is about God's people coming out of Egypt. And they were complaining about, we want to go back to Egypt. Some, like many of us sometimes, right? We want to go back to the old ways because it sounds like more fun, right? But actually destroying us if we do that. And so, you know, they were complaining and God told Moses, okay, tell them, get the people together. I'm going to talk to them. Right? This is the amazing part. If you know the Old Testament, one of God's things is that he wants to talk to the people. He wants to talk to the people actually all the time. God, I mentioned in my first sermon, that God is talking all the time. What's the problem? It's us. We are not hearing God. God is talking, but we're not hearing him. We're not training ourselves to hear God. But here in the Old Testament, it says that Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. So Moses, amazing. He heard from God directly. In fact, the Bible says that Moses is a friend of God. So friends means that I can hear God, I can talk to God. So he comes. He's the only one who can listen to God. He goes. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. Now this is Moses, spoke with Moses, and he took the spirit that was on him, that means God took the spirit on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Okay, the moment the spirit of God came upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Now this is interesting because in the Old Testament, when the spirit rested on someone, it's not permanent. The spirit moves on, okay? It doesn't stay permanently on anyone. Right, and so then the next part of the verse says, however, two men whose names are Eldad and Medad. So if you want to consider names for your baby next time, Eldad and Medad, okay, and Yodad, okay, the three sons, okay, and so however, two men whose names are Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp, meaning that they did not come together with the elders; they were somewhere in their own camp. But now see what happened after that. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. That means these two guys, they didn't go. I don't know for what reason, the Bible doesn't say. But the Spirit visited them anyway, and they prophesied. And then here it says, a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since you, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? Then note the yellow line, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. Moses' desire is that I wish everyone is a prophet. Why? Because prophets hear the voice of God. He understood that, all right? And then, and that the Lord will put his spirit on them. Now that's Moses' desire. But it has not happened yet. Now fast forward now. Fast forward to the book of Acts. This is where it gets exciting because now we are talking about us now. We are part of the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it says this. Now remember, this is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. Now before the Holy Spirit, here is what it says. This is what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters. Now I want you to notice all people. You see, Moses is reflecting what prophet Joel is saying. Right, this is the heart of God, even in the Old Testament. All people, your sons and daughters, meaning male and female, young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, that means old and young. Even on my servants, both men and women, servants mean these are slaves. These are the lowest on the social ladder. So it doesn't matter whether you're high on the social ladder or low on the social ladder, the Holy Spirit will come when you are a believer. And I will pour out my spirit in those days. Which are these those days? The book of Acts. Pentecost. Right? And they will what? Prophesy. There you go again. Right? And then in, the first person to receive the Spirit of God is actually Jesus. Right? So here, Jesus, you know, was baptized. And then he says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down, and note this, and remain. So Jesus was the first person to receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit remained on Jesus. All right? He's the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, the Spirit remained on him, and later on when he goes to heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will remain on all of us. And Jesus is talking here now about the church of today, because in the book of Acts, all right, when that happened, you know, in Acts 19, 4-7, this is something like 25 years after Pentecost. When Apostle Paul went to Ephesus, he saw this group of disciples and he prayed over them. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and what? Prophesied. You see the pattern there? In the Old Testament, when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Joel prophesied that. Acts repeated that. All right? And then here you have, 25 years after Pentecost, when they were laid hands, the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied as well. This is something powerful that we all need to know. God has called His people to be prophetic people. They are to prophesy. But yet many of us are ignorant of this. We don't recognize it, that is the call of God. Now let me clarify this point. I've already done this, you know, a year ago, right? When we become a Christian, there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You understand this? That the Holy Spirit come and live inside us. But the Holy Spirit living inside us does not mean that we yield to the Holy Spirit. You understand this part here? He may be in us, but we still live our own life. We have not yielded to Him. And one of the ways we yield to the Holy Spirit is that in this church, we encourage you to be baptized in the Spirit so that you learn to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. So basically, you're saying to the Holy Spirit, you do what you need to do through me. I'm yielding to Him. All right? And so when I talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it means that you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the yielding part is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is where all of us, for many of us here in DUMC, we have already been baptized in the Spirit. We are saying, Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you. Please use me in whatever ways that you can. All right? Do you understand? This is an important factor. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Greek word is parakletos. Is actually separated into two. You know, para means alongside, kletos means, you know, to come with you, all right, to go alongside you. So in other words, the meaning of parakletos is come alongside and walk beside you. So Holy Spirit is actually someone who come alongside you and walk beside you. Now, can you imagine this? If the Holy Spirit is with you and walking beside you, do you think He will not say anything to you? I can even imagine some of you thinking this way. You know, I think the Holy Spirit is like that. Muffled, because you can't, you don't even understand what the Holy Spirit is. You're trying to figure it out, right? Or you may think that the Holy Spirit playing charade with you, you know? Five words, three syllable, all right, first word. Right? And you have to figure out what the Holy Spirit is saying. But I don't think so. I don't think the Holy Spirit works like that. I think the Holy Spirit desire to speak to us. He wants to tell us things. What's the problem? Right, we're not hearing. Go back to my first sermon. All right, I elaborated on that. The problem is us. And so if the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, okay, He would want to talk to us. All right? And when Jesus said, I knock on the door, right? And if this is Revelation 3:20, I knock on your door. And you open the door and come in, I will eat with you. And that's the Spirit of Christ. Now, if Jesus comes to your home and wants to eat with you, do you think He talks to you like that? And then in five words, in a three syllable? I don't think so. Jesus, if He comes in and eat with you, it means that He wants to talk to you. So I think it's very powerful. If we recognize the keys to unlock the hearing of God, of God's voice in our life, it will truly change our lives and change it dramatically. And that's my prayer for every member of the UMC here, that you will unlock the key of listening to God. Now, let me explain, you know, here, that from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, okay? Now, I want to go to the Word of God again, one more time here. It says that follow the way of love. This is a command, follow the way of love. What is the way of love here? It comes from 1 Corinthians 13, all right? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude, love does not envy, all right? So love, all right, is something that we all must have as we, you know, exercise spiritual gifts. So He reminded us, don't do it out of pride. Don't do it out of manipulating other people. Do it out of love. So how many of you want to follow the way of love here? How many want to follow the way of love, all right? In fact, all Christians must put up your hand. I want to follow the way of love. I want to be able to love, okay? Let me ask you the second question, because that's what Apostle Paul is asking all of us. Do you eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Do you eagerly? Not the way eagerly, eh? What does eagerly mean? I really want to see Transformers, you know? Okay? I really want to buy that thing. That's eager. So do you eagerly desire spiritual gifts? This is what Apostle Paul is asking us. So how many of you here eagerly desire spiritual gifts? My hand is up, by the way. I want to, Lord. I want to desire spiritual gifts. Now let me ask a third question, what Apostle Paul is asking here. How many of you, apart from eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, how many of you want especially prophecy? right? Now, if your hands is up, right, you are, from now on, right, you will have a word for somebody else every day. Okay? And so, in that scripture, verse 5 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongue, but I would rather have you prophesy. It's not saying don't speak in tongue. It says, I would rather you. That means that's the desire. Can you catch the desire of Apostle Paul's heart here? I would really desire you to prophesy. Right? Why? Because, you know, it is something that can build up. And then this is in the cell group, right? In the house church. For you can all prophesy in turn. Right? He's encouraging everyone. You can all prophesy. I want you to catch that word all. Right? Don't just think it's someone with a beard, you know. For someone with a beard, someone is a pastor, someone with the holy look. It's for everyone. And that to me is really, really exciting. Now, there are different types of prophecy, in case some of you now is struggling. So what really is prophecy, okay? Now, let me just give you two definitions there. They were really easy, right? The first kind of prophecy is called foretelling. Right? Foretelling means I can predict what the future is from God. God will tell you what the future is. That's called foretelling, right? Another type of prophecy is called forthtelling. Forthtelling means they're saying what it is now. God will give you a word, an impression, you know, a vision for now. Something that's going on in the life of a person, this is for you, all right? So it's not foretelling anything. It is forthtelling, all right? Now, in the New Testament, most of the prophecy we are talking about here, the gift of prophecy, is about foretelling. Some of you may foretell, but most of it, I would say even 91% of it, are actually foretelling, all right? So you're not here to go and foretell future, right? It's just foretelling what God is laying on your heart for that person. I will give you examples as I move along, what this foretelling is really all about, okay? So, in other words, we can either foretell or foretelling, but here we are talking in the gift of the prophecy is actually more of it a foretelling. So that will put your heart at peace, all right? You're not trying to foretell things that are happening in the future, although it can happen. For some of us, it can happen to us. Now, so we all can prophesy. Now, second thing is this, that prophecy builds up. It builds you up, right? Builds someone else's up. Let me give an example here. I remember some years ago, this was just a week before a Chinese New Year. And I was busy as a pastor, running around, just doing stuff on a regular celebration. And the Lord just stopped me, you know, halfway. And He said, look at that lady sitting by herself, okay? It was a young adult girl. And I knew she was from East Malaysia. And this was just a week before Chinese New Year. And she said, stop, okay? I said, God, you want me to stop? He said, I've learned to hear the voice of God and obey, all right? So when He asked me to stop, I stopped everything that I was doing. I walked towards her. And I said, so now what's next, Lord, all right? And the Lord just said to me, just tell her that I'm with you. Huh? That's very strange, right? I'm sure every one of you here know that I'm with you, right? All right? I don't want to tell you that, right? But why is it God stopped me in the midst of everything that I'm doing? Go to her and tell her I'm with you. Okay, remember, listen and obey. All right, so I went over to her and said, sister, I don't know why God stopped me. You know, I was running around, many things that I need to do. But this is what God is saying to you. I'm with you. All right, and I was, you know, I was quite afraid like that it may be something silly, all right? Of course, she knows that I'm with you, see? Now, as I said that to her, do you know what happened? She looked at me, and she started crying. And I looked at her, did I say anything wrong? Right? I said, no, Pastor. In a sobbing, right? He have not said anything wrong. I was just sitting there, miserable about myself, she said. You know, I'm from East Malaysia. Yeah, I know you're from East Malaysia, right? And I tried to get a plane ticket. It was a last-minute decision. I thought I could not go home, and I couldn't get a ticket. I was miserable because I could not get home. You know, New Year is Chinese New Year is always, you know, an occasion. I get back home to be with my family, but this time around, I cannot go home. I was so miserable, and I don't know where to go during Chinese New Year because nobody has invited me yet, all right? Then I look at her. She was crying and said, thank you for telling me this. Now I know I'm not alone in my struggle. Right, and so you know what would happen to her after releasing that words for her? You know, she walked out of this place. She knew that God knew her issue. Do you think that she's built up? Do you think she's built up? Do you think she's encouraged? I think so. Right? I think she's encouraged. And of course, later on, I told her, "Don't worry, I'll arrange for family for you to go to." See, God understood what she's going through. Now, is this? You may think this is very trivial, but do you know it means the world to that girl, to that young adult? And I'm sure that have changed her own walk with God, because God is interested in every area of her life. And he stopped the pastor of the church midway in what he's doing and gave her a word. And to my mind, he said, God, that's a simple word. Why do I need to release it? But God said, you release it for her because it's important for her. And that's what I mean by prophecy builds up. So what are some of the reasons why we want to encourage prophecy, why God wants to encourage that? The first thing is this, that it trains us to hear from God. See, if you desire to prophesy, some of you say, I want to learn how to prophesy, right? You know, the fact that you put up your hand means what? What's the assumption here? Or presumption? It means that you can hear God. You understand this part? Right? So if you desire to prophesy, it means that I want to learn how to hear from God. So you will want, you desire to want to hear from God. So it trains us to hear from God. And the second thing is that it shows the presence of God. In other words, for that lady, you know, young adult, whom I said to her, you know, I'm with you. Simple words, a simple line like that, she knows for sure. Out of 1,000 over people here, God picked me out. Right? Knowing that I'm going through this, and to say, I am with you, and then finally being arranged for a family for her to be with during Chinese New Year. Isn't that amazing? God is interested in the little thing, and it surely shows the presence of God, that God is here. For that girl, I know, God is definitely here. Because no one else knew what I was going through. Definitely not the pastor, because he's so busy running around everywhere. But he stopped the pastor and came over to me and said, I am with you. Wow, I tell you, that shows the presence of God, because I have absolutely no idea that she's going through that. Amen? And then the third thing is this. It reinforces that God does speak to his people for their strengthening, for their encouraging, and for their comfort. Where does these three words come from? Strengthening, all right, encouraging, and comfort. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2-5. All right? For anyone who speaks in the tongue does not speak to God, does not speak to people, but to God. We all know that. Speaking in tongues, we don't understand what it is, but we're speaking to God. And indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speak to people for their what? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in the tongue edifies themselves. Again, this comes to this part. If you speak in the tongue, you build yourself up. Right? That's why I encourage you to continue doing that. At least 10 minutes a day. But the one who prophesies edifies the church, the body of Christ. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. There it goes again. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. It's not saying that tongues is any lesser, okay? All right. But unless someone interprets the tongue, then it becomes co-equal with prophecy. All right? So that the church may be edified. So the Lord wants to, you know, edify us, to edify one another. And that's why prophecy is powerful. It builds up the church. But sometimes you may, in your mind right now, like, say, but Pastor, how do I know that is really from God? Is that a good question? How do I know that's really from God? That's a great question, right? That is why we never do prophecy by ourselves without accountability. There must always be accountability when we release words for one another, especially in the cell group. And when we, you know, release words in the cell group, we discern with one another whether this is from God. Sometimes we need to do that. It's accountability. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 to 10, it says that this is a New Testament prophecy now, the gift of prophecy. Most of it are forth-telling. It says there, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Meaning that we don't have all the full picture. That is why we need the body of Christ. We need everyone here to see one part, and we put in the whole pieces together. And that's why prophecy is something that we do as a body of Christ. We don't do it individually. We always do it as a body of Christ. And therefore, sometimes a certain word that you receive, it may not make a lot of sense. But as different words are being received, it makes sense after that, because God is speaking to the whole body. Right? So one of the things that you must learn in prophecy is this. You must be bold to speak forth, right? Because many of us have already heard the voice of God. I believe that. Many of you have heard. In fact, God has given you certain things in your mind for someone. But you know what happened? After you receive it, you do what I call spiritual ping-pong. Now, what's spiritual ping-pong? It means that you say to your mind, yeah, I think this is from God, you know, because I wouldn't have known about this. Then you ping pong ball went to the other side of the brain. And he says, no, actually it's from me, not from God one, you know. Then he went back, yeah, it's from God, it's not from God, it's from God. Then after a while, you know what you do? No, it's not from God, better don't release, I'm scared. See, that's what happened to many of us. I'm sure this is an experience of many of you. You actually receive a word from God, but you're doing spiritual ping pong in your mind. Okay? I'm going to give you some rules later on, all right, to tell you how can you guard against doing this spiritual ping pong, all right, and be able to release it without any fear, but with boldness, okay? Now, let me just share a story with you, one more story here, all right? This was happened about 3 weeks ago, and I was speaking at the Resonate Night Worship, all right? So Pastor Gilbert said, would you come and speak to the Resonate members? So I said, more than happy to do that. So I went there on a Thursday night, And I share a word with them, what the Lord was impressing on my heart. Then I told them about the Listen series. I said, I'm going to teach the church to learn how to prophesy. And I want the church to do that, all right? To even in the cell group, learn how to prophesy to one another, to build up the church. And then I told the resident members, all right? And I pray that especially for worship team, you need to be prophetic people, especially worship members, worship team members. And so I said, you know, I'm going to wait for a word for all of you here. All right, so at the end of the closing prayer, and I just waited on the Lord. Now, this comes, when you are used to this, it comes very fast, all right? And so while I was just waiting, in a few seconds, all right, the Lord gave me a picture of someone in the car, all right, crying. Now, this is a very strange picture, all right? God speaks to me often through pictures, right? And so it was a man in the car crying. And so I released it to the group. I said, I don't know what this means, but I see a picture of a man crying in a car, right? So I waited another few more seconds, and another picture came. You see, a lot of crying. I don't know why God is just showing me all these crying pictures, all right? I said, I see another person, all right, on the bed crying, right? So I said, I do not know whether, you know, this applies to anyone here, but this is what the Lord is saying to me, that as you are in the car crying, or another person on the bed crying, I see an image of a second person sitting next to you. And on the bed with you, right? And that person, God wants to tell you, is Jesus, right? And I said, this is the word for all of you here. And I closed in prayer and I went home. Okay? Now, next morning, I get a text. I said, Pastor, you are talking about me, right? You are talking because, you said, that was Thursday night I released the words, right? You see, on Tuesday night, you said, I was going through some really difficult moments of my life. I was sitting in the car crying, right? And then on Wednesday night, I was still traumatized by the problem. I was lying on the bed crying. Now, coincidence, right? Now, how in the world would I know that this man, in the right sequence, somewhere or not, that he'd be crying in the car, he'd be crying on the bed? Now, it may not mean anything to everybody else, but it meant the world to that person. He said, Pastor, thank you. I'm so encouraged that in the midst of going through my problems, I still don't know what his problem is, you know. But in the midst of going through my problems right now, I knew that when I was crying in the car, Jesus was with me. When I was on the bed crying, Jesus was with me. And now I know for sure that Jesus is with me. Thank you very much for having the boldness to release these words for me. Now, I absolutely know nothing about that person. All I knew was that God, give me words of prophecy. And I want to build up somebody here. No matter how silly it sounds, God, I'm going to release it by faith. That God will take that and give it to someone else. And God is going to use that. Isn't that amazing? All right. And that is what I believe that God wants to continue to teach us. All right. And we, of course, I don't come like the prophet of old, you know, coming in, you know, and say, thus saith the Lord. I don't have to do that. All right. I use words like, I think this is what God is saying to you. And I leave for God to work that out with that person. I just want to be faithful in receiving that word. I think this is what God is saying to you. Does it mean anything to you? Right? Now, some of us, when we try, I still remember the early years when I tried this, okay? Well, the accuracy not very high. Not so high, all right? It mean anything to you? No, nothing. Now, I can walk away very discouraged, you know? But I persevere. I say, Lord, I want to really learn how to hear you clearly. And over time now, I realize that the accuracy have gone way up. Why? Because I've learned to hear the voice of God. So I want you to persevere. Don't give up, right? Don't give up. Just keep doing it. Because God will trained you in this area. So I don't have to come and say, thus saith the Lord, because they will put fear into yourself too. Right? But say, I think this is what the Lord is saying. And God then will begin to work that through your life. And it's going to be really, really powerful, all right, in our lives. Okay? So prophecy is for all. Prophecy builds up. And thirdly is this, that prophecy can be learned. Right? Like in any spiritual gift. Next weekend, I'm going to talk about spiritual gift. The 20 over kinds of spiritual gifts. So it's amazing that God has given everyone at least one gift. At least one. At least one. Many of you have many more gifts. Right? But the problem is that we're ignorant of these gifts. So come back next weekend because I'm going to talk about how you can receive the entire spectrum of what God has to offer to the body of Christ. It's amazing. Right? So we, therefore, every gift, spiritual gift that we receive, right, we must be faithful in practicing them to learn how to use them. Okay? And some people receive a certain gift and remains quite strongly on them. Okay? Right, but for some of us, we just manifest it and then it goes away. It doesn't happen again. Right? So next weekend, I'm going to talk about that. It's really exciting to recognize some of us, all right, you know, hold that gifting in a very powerful way. For example, you know, when you visit someone in the hospital, right? What do you pray for that person when you visit someone in the hospital? You pray for what? For healing. You ask for the gift of healing. Obvious, right? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So when I go to the hospital, I say, God, give me the gift of healing. Right? And I pray for that person. Now, I may not be the healer because some people carry the office of a healer. Meaning that this person here, whenever he goes, his success rate is very high because he carries that anointing. But most of us are just commanded to just pray for healing. You understand this part here? Right? So, but some of these can be practiced over and over again. So, can you do me a favor here, right? The next time in a cell group, all right, will you practice that? We just learn to say, Holy Spirit, give me a word, give me a picture, give me an impression, all right? So that I can share with the whole group. And my cell group does that every week, by the way. All right? Three or four people release words. And some of the words are really powerful because it builds up the person who hears them. So I want to encourage you, cell group, or cell leaders, encourage that environment. Practice. The more you practice, the better you become. And that's the reason why, church, you need to be in a cell group. If you're not in a cell group, there is no opportunity for you to exercise spiritual gifts. This, by the way, is not an ideal way of doing church, by the way. Because why? We are sitting in rows, is it? Okay? Staring in the back of the person's head, whether they got gray hair or not, or no hair at all. Alright? And that's all we do. We just and then listen to the preacher up here. And you are just passive listener. You are not doing what 1 Corinthians, you know. Chapter 14 is saying, let me show you Corinthians here, right? What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Now, during Paul's time, right, there are no mega church like this, no big churches like this. It's sitting in rows. They all sit in circles. They huddle in groups, right? And then he says, when you come together, each of you, now the word here is each of you. Everyone, no one is left out. Every one of you has a hymn or the word of instruction. A revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Understand this? Everyone, okay? Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in the tongue, two or three at the most, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Now, this is a public tongue. Not the prayer tongue that I talk about 10 minutes a day, every day. Huh? I hope you learn the differentiation here, right? This is a public tongue God uses to speak to someone in the group or entire group, and someone must interpret. Now, this is one thing that I don't see in DUMC yet. And I pray, it's my prayer, that in DUMC cell groups, this will begin to take place. It's my prayer. Right? That someone will speak in a tongue, and someone interprets. Right? I'm talking scripture here. I'm not making this up. Right? And then, if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself or to God. This church here is the small group. All right? And then, we talk about prophecy. This is a continuing of that. Two or three prophets should speak. Now, this is a cell group again. Two or three of you, prophets, remember? I love that word, prophets. Right? Or two or three of you, this is cell group again. Two or three of you should speak, and the other should weigh carefully. That means we discern together. Let's weigh what God is saying. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy. That's the word again. You can all prophesy in turn. so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. Now, what that means is that you can start, you can stop. It's fully within your control. God, the Holy Spirit will not come and sort of take your time. He doesn't do that. All right? You can start and stop. It's fully within your control. For God is not a God that is ordered by or peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. And so this is where the best place to practice your spiritual gifts is actually in the cell group. And that is why in DUMC we encourage you, every one of you, if you're not in the cell group, you're not doing yourself a favor. You have not learned how to exercise spiritual gifts. And that is why so many of us are weak. If you're not in a cell group because you're not practicing your spiritual gifts, you are weak and powerless in your Christian life. And I pray, and I really pray, that you will join a cell group just to exercise spiritual gifts and for someone else to exercise their spiritual gift to encourage you. You understand this part here? Because coming to church, sitting in rows like this alone will not build you up to be strong in the Christian faith. You need to belong to a cell group. Right? So it's a great time now to turn to your neighbor and say, are you in a cell group or not? Right? Some of you say, wait, I can see some of your hand gesture, wait, thinking about it. Right? But do yourself a favor. Please join the cell group because that's the best place to learn how to exercise spiritual gifts. And I'll speak more about it next weekend. All right? So now as you learn to, release words, what are some of the rules in DUMC here that we use to help you as you release words, okay? So there are three things you must observe. Now, once you observe these three things, you are free to release any words that God has given to you. So the first thing is this, all right? What words do you release, okay? The first thing you must remember is this. As long as the words that comes to you is encouraging, right? If it's encouraging, release it anyway, irrespective whether it's ping pong, yes, from me, from the Lord. But if it's encouraging, say it anyway. You know why? Because Bible already say, encourage one another. Even if it's from you, it's okay. So relax, all right? Don't do this spiritual ping pong. Is it from me? Is it from God? Is it from me? Otherwise, I don't want to say anything. Because you didn't say anything, one person or two person or the whole group in the cell group has not been encouraged. And I want you to recognize how important that is. Right? So as long as it is encouraging, release it. Okay, can you do that? All right? And then second thing is that as long as it is non-corrective, right? Meaning that the Lord, you know, some of us, you know, may reach up to a level, you know, where we begin to see, hey, that person, you know, the Lord's giving him impression that he has done wrong in his life, you know, even show you a specific, wow, these things, right? That's why we say never get near a prophet, lah. The prophet may know all the sins in your life, I know, right? But, you know, but sometimes God may reveal that to you. And I have that happen to me as well, okay? A word for somebody to say, you have this sin in your life, God wants to deal with that. But if I receive that, you know, I don't release it yet, all right, I will go to my leader and say, this is what the Lord showed me. What do you think? Can you discern together with me? Because I want to release something that could be wrong, you know? Or that could be right, but that person may not be able to handle it. And so I talk to my leader. Accountability and love. Check my heart. Am I doing it the right way? Follow the way of love. And so as long as it's non-corrective, all right, then you can release it. Otherwise, hold back. Check with your leader. That's a good rule, by the way, that we must all have. Don't go around, thus says the Lord. Right? And then, of course, non-directive. Right? If the Lord gives you this word for the cell members, God says to me that you will marry you. By the way, it may be right, you know. It may be right. But don't release it because it's directive. Oh, I sense that God is saying to you that you need to go to Bible school and be a pastor. Right? Now, it may be right. But you don't release it. Why? Because this is directive. You must be accountable. So go to your leader and say, this is what, you know, the Lord is saying to me about that person. The leader may say, it's true. He has been sharing with me about his desire. Wow, that's powerful. Let me tell him the Lord spoke to you about this. All right? So that could be a natural outcome of that. All right? So the reason why we follow this rule is that we don't become manipulative in our prophecy. You know, some of us here, because of the flesh, we want to release words. Actually, we want to tell that person one, you know, but we say it's from God. Especially wife love to do that. No, lah, just joking. Right? You know, cannot get through the husband. Already. God told me. Wow, got more authority. You say God told me, right? I even had one lady who woke up to me crying away with her fiance, right? And she said, you know, my aunt who is a non from another church, right? She's known to be a prophet on her. Her words are quite, you know, all that. So she said, what did she say to you? She whole family against me marrying this guy, right? And this auntie of mine told me, right, that if you marry this woman, the Lord say you have a curse on your life, you know. Whoa, this is serious, you know. But in my mind, I say, I counter-check, you know, the prophecy here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, for strengthening, for encouragement, for comfort. I look at her, I say, does this fit into any of these? I say, no, definitely not, you know. All right, so that's not prophecy, lo. All right, what, then what is that? That one is her desire, lo. All right, because I don't think it's the most loving thing to do, to say you pronounce curse on a person who was about to get married, you know. All right, so I don't think that's from the Lord. Oh, really, Pastor? Thank you. But you need to deal with that. There's still an issue there, you know what I'm saying? All right, but I realize that some of us can, the flesh can manipulate, right? That is why accountability is very important, right? Talk to your leader. In DMC, we play, we do this very strictly. Do not go around prophesying to people without accountability. Right? We will pull you in and say, be accountable to us when you do that. Right? And so it's very important when we follow these three rules, and we've been following this rule for the last 20 over years. And it has really, really worked well for us in that sense. Okay, so, you know, the Holy Spirit will guide us, into all truth. So the comfort that I have is that the Holy Spirit will teach us. The Holy Spirit will correct us. You understand this part here? But we must be bold to release words. All right, let me give you an example, a personal example. Now, this just happened about 3 weeks ago. See, I was going through a difficult moment in my own life. I'm practicing the core habit called be real. All right, so I'm being real to you right now. Now, this is about slightly over a year now, being a senior pastor. And then let me tell you that the runway towards learning how to be a senior pastor is not easy, okay? You know, and there's challenges that comes alongside. And I was getting so discouraged about 3-4 weeks ago. They said, God, there's some of these things I don't know how to do and what to do about this, all right? It's really difficult for me. That's why you need to pray for me, all right? To regularly uphold me in prayer, all right? But it's been good. It's been good, you know, learning this journey. I'm so glad that God has given me the privilege to lead this church here. But there are times I hit a struggle. You know, I hit a command from someone, you know, all kind of things that you hear, all right? And you say, I don't know what to do, Lord, all right? And I was feeling quite depressed, you know? My wife knows about it. And I share with her, I don't know what to do, you know? Right? And so I went to work. So Monday, I went to work on a Tuesday. And I was sharing with the staff. I said, guys, we are going to do this series called Listen. We need, as a staff, for example, to really learn how to prophesy. All right? So I make them pay up, all right? You pay up now, okay? You release words for one another. Just listen to the Lord and release, okay? So I was paired to this brother here. And I released a word for him. All right? I said, this is what the Lord says. Remember, I was still going through this in my heart. Then he turned to me and said, Pastor, maybe they just fear about prophesying to senior pastor. All right? Pastor, I don't have any word for you. I said, but, then he said, I will try, okay? So he just closed his eyes, and then he said this, Pastor, just 2 words I see, just 2 words. This for you. The word that I see is move forward. Move forward. Now remember, he doesn't know what I was going through. And when he said that move forward, I almost choked and almost cried because I needed to hear those words. You understand this? I needed God to encourage me. I needed to know that God knows what I'm going through. Now, this brother, he has absolutely no idea. He even tell me, I got no words for you. But yet when he said, I'll try, he closed his eyes and said, these are 2 words God has for you. Move forward. You know, that week, I was so encouraged. I said, God, I could move on another month now. Because I heard it from you, God. You spoke to my life. And I needed that. And that was so powerful for me as a senior pastor of the church. A person who said, I don't know, I have no words for you. But I'm willing to listen to God. So church, are you willing to listen to God? And be such an encouragement to someone else? You know, I pray that
And I dream about this, my dream now. I was telling one usher yesterday evening. I dream of the day that when ushers, right, they are no longer just come have a seat here. Ushers will have a prophetic word for someone. Ushers will be stopped by God. Said that person needs to hear this word, and you walk up to that person and say, "This is what the Lord is saying to you." Right? As long as it's encouraging, non-directive, and non-corrective, right? You say that to that person. Can you imagine ushers doing that? Can you imagine a security people doing that? No, big tough guys. Now got ladies already, right? Big tough guys. Because they walk in the prophetic. The Lord will say, speak to that person. Maybe an angry driver scream at them. And say, Lord, the Lord will say, speak to that person about this. All right. I don't know. Can you imagine now our people learning to walk in the prophetic? And when you come to cell group, all right, even before you come, you already prayed. You already asked the Lord for a word for your cell members. And you come in with this notepad. This is what the Lord says about you, and you become the prophet of the group. In that sense. Do you know that's so powerful? When we learn to listen to the word of God. Now let me tell you where I'm heading towards, all right? When we learn to be prophetic, we will then be able to hear God clearly, all right? Even in reaching out to the world out there. You will go up even to non-Christians and say, this is what God says to you about your life. Sometimes we can argue until our mouth goes dry with a person who's not a Christian. Hard nut, like Stephanie shared earlier on, hard nut type. But when you speak a word from God to that person and the person knows that there's no way this person knows what I'm going through. And when you release that, do you know that person's heart is turned towards God immediately? Why? Because it has to be from God. Right? And when we can learn how to do that, do you know what? This is my final prayer to the Lord. I say, God, make this church a prophetic church. When we speak, okay, we speak not only to our people. We not speak only to the community. We speak to the nation. And people will come and say, we know you hear the voice of God. What is God saying? And it's not done by the senior pastor, by the way. Only. It's done by everybody. And that's my desire. That all of us here will desire spiritual gifts. Especially prophecy. Can we bow our heads right now? Thank you, Lord. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Let's practice that. Let's practice asking the Holy Spirit to speak. Because if you have learned to sit under that rocking chair, you're really learning how to hear the voice of God. And when I say something like, what is the Holy Spirit saying, is easy. But some of us, we struggle. But it's okay. We can learn how to hear the voice of God. And so while all heads are bowed right now, as you talk to God, I want to address some of the people here who are not Christians. Maybe you have also backslided away from God for many years. But if you're not a Christian, maybe you're backslided. I believe there's a voice of God for you here right now. And that voice is simply these two words. Come home. All right. Knowing God is really coming home. Because God loves you and He has a great plan for your life. So maybe some of you here are invited by a friend, you're not a Christian, but you say, Pastor, what you say may make sense to me later, right? But even now, right? Maybe I want to you know, in my heart right now, can I do something to receive this God into my life, to receive this Jesus into my life? You know you can do that by a simple prayer to invite God into your life. You may ask me now, Pastor, how do I do that? Just three simple steps. All you need to do is say, sorry, thank you, and please. You say, sorry, you know, God, I've been doing my own things, my own life, messing up my own plans. I'm sorry about that. Some of you have backslided away from God. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry that I'm running my own life. And then you say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, that you always love me. You're so patient with me. And then the third thing you say is, please come into my life. And if you can have the desire of your heart to say this simple prayer, you know, God longs to hear that, and then He'll come into your life right now. And if you desire that, you can pray together with me right now where you are seated. Just pray with me this prayer. Church, can you pray together with me? But those who desire, not a Christian backslider away, you pray as well. Because God hears your voice as well. Dear Lord Jesus, let's pray together, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus,
I'm sorry for running my own life.
I'm sorry for messing up my life.
I've been doing things my own way. And thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for me. That through that, it shows that you love me.
That you
accept me when I turn to you. And today, I invite you into my life. And make me a new person. Make me a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it takes for me when I was 17.